Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench with you. So here's the deal. Mafia just told me that Les Miles is out at Kansas, and obviously that's because of the story that broke last week about Les Miles, I think on Friday or whatever, about the, hitting on college co-eds allegedly and having an off-campus apartment. He was like, allegedly, the story is that he was, bringing girls back to that apartment and, trying to play kissy face and everything else. And I mean, it just got real creepy real fast. And then we talked about it on Friday on Coast to Coast and on Farrell on the Bench that he was, doomed. I said on Friday, he's doomed. There's no way that guy's ever coaching another game in his life. You cannot have all these people say you're getting your freak on and you're, perv on. And listen, you can say whatever you want. I know that that a lot of people claim, that they, didn't get him at LSU. You know what I mean? Like there was I remember talking about it, and there was like this end of it where there was talk of like they never really got him. They just had these allegations, and they, they investigated him, and they never fired him. Right? They like the athletic director, the president. They all wanted to get rid of him, but they didn't. Right? He left. I don't even remember how it ended, but they did not fire him. Unless I'm crazy, Mafia. They did not fire him for all those allegations. They knew at LSU, they knew that this guy was doing this, and they didn't really execute anything to get rid of him. Like they didn't, finish the deal and get rid of his ass. Eventually he left, and but he got out of there with his name fairly intact. They didn't get him really. Like he got away with it, and
you're fired for losing, not for this.
Right, they didn't get him for this. They got him for failing on the football field, not off the field. And so they wanted him gone because of this, but they never got him for that. And then he went to Kansas, and he found out the hard way at Kansas, right, that first of all, when he got that job at Kansas, none of us fell for that he was going to be successful in Lawrence, Kansas. If there's one thing that's certain in life, it's that Kansas football sucks. I mean, they have been literally, I think, the worst football D1 program in history. Have they not, Mafia? Like, honestly, they have to be the worst program in football history. They really do. And they never win, and they've never won, and they've never done any kind of winning. All they've done is lose. It really is truly amazing because the basketball program is so good that the football program is just obsolete. It's been left for dead. And then this guy went there and took that job, but it didn't work. We welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Meyer 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio all over the world, Hoorah Soldier, Hoorah. It's Pharrell on a Bench with Mafia on a Monday night. 844-843-6879. You know, that I think what we need, Mafia, do you remember when we used to be on the one thing led to another. We were on the Armed Forces Radio. And we used to get calls, I think, at some point or another from, like, you know, outposts and army barracks and army installations all over the world. We'd get calls from, you know, crazy places like Afghanistan, wherever, guys serving that listened to the show through the years. And they could hear it on the Armed Forces Radio Network, which is pretty cool. Anyway, where was I? I was talking about. Him going to Kansas and not doing anything. When he got the job there, Miles, I'm talking about, when he got the job at Lawrence, none of us fell for it. Like, I remember Mafia and Carver High and I on the air, and we were like, this will never work. Like, he's not going to win there. No one wins there. It doesn't matter if, do you remember when Charlie Weiss went there? Nobody won there. No one. It just is the worst. And sure enough, he didn't win or do anything at Kansas, but they got him finally for the, I mean, let's face it, they got him for the kissy face, for getting his freak on, for being a freak. That's just all there is to it. There is no getting around the fact that he's out. Now, they always, with Les Miles, find a way to not say he was fired. Have you ever noticed that? It's like they've come to terms on an ending, an amicable ending. They're
mutually agreed to part ways.
Mutually agreed to part, yeah. That's such bullshack. You know it is. That is such bullshack. You know he was fired. That's all there is to it. He's out because he wanted to hang out with college co-eds.
We know things are nuts out there. You need something to depend on.
That's where we come in.
Coming to you 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
With the sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else.
Depend on it.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I mean, Mafia, you know they fired him because of this scandal. There's no, they didn't fire him for any other. They would have never fired him based on losing because they are so used to it. They're so used to losing. So he was fired because of the LSU scandal. That's it. They don't want anything to do with some guy that's like got a reputation and that it's become public that he had his swerve on down in Baton Rouge and he was hitting on college co-eds. And then he had the gall to actually say that he was mentoring young women. Like, are you kidding me, this guy? That may be the line of the century. It really, Mafia, that could be the line of the century that he literally tried to sell to the public and to the media that he was mentoring young women. Are you kidding me? Like, what's next? You're going to believe Jeff Dahmer?
Yeah, he was just mentoring young women honestly, the same way that Bobby Petrito was just giving that girl a ride somewhere, right?
Giving her a little ride on his motorcycle.
Just giving her a ride. Her car's broke down. He's just giving her a ride on her hog.
Didn't he wreck a Harley?
Yeah, he wrecked a motorcycle. That's how they found out. He got crashed with the girl in the back.
Oh, that was great. He was never the same after that. Didn't he? I think he got his job back, didn't he, eventually?
I think they kept him there, and yeah, they came back. He's somewhere else now, though. I think he's like one of the little schools, that, like the FCS schools, playing now, if I'm not mistaken.
He's doing what now? He's coaching at a small school?
Yeah, I think so. Missouri State.
Oh, really? That's crazy. I guess some people just can't get out of coaching. You know what I mean? It's a lifer thing. He'll coach wherever. Coach high school if he has to. Just to coach. Some of them can't get away from it. I mean, I would think, right? Like, don't you think Les Miles is ruined now? He's done.
Yeah.
He'll never coach again.
No, I mean, like, when you're coaching down in Kansas, I mean, maybe he'll coach. I don't even think so. I don't think even some small school will touch him at this point with everything that's going on with the, you know, the culture that is right now. You're not going to let that happen. I mean, just look at all the things that they're changing that were around forever. I mean, I was just reading that they got rid of Pepe Le Pew and he's gone for good. And they like completely changed Lola Bunny for this new Space Jam movie. Like, it's not okay to do the things that this guy was doing and being accused of doing. And it's amazing to me that he got away with it in 2013, 8 years later. You're not going to get hired now by someone else saying, hey, look, you know, you're bad enough that Kansas didn't want anything to do with you. So why don't we hire you?
So there you go. Les Miles is out at Kansas and they mutually agreed to part ways, which in Portuguese means he was fired. How pathetic is Kansas to not just say that? Like, you got to just come right out with it and just be like, listen, this just took a really bad turn. You're fired. That's it. It's like, I just don't get it. Like, how does that guy get out of there with like that soft landing type story that they mutually agreed to part ways? Like, who on the face of the earth doesn't realize he got whacked? It's that simple.
Right. They're basically like, hey, you've been embarrassed enough over the last 6 days. We don't want to, you know, put more egg on your face. Like, why don't we just say that it's mutually agreed to part ways? Because if you don't agree to this, we're firing you. You're going to mutually agree or you're going to get fired without agreeing.
Listen, they spun it. They fired him and they said that they mutually agreed to part ways, just like a bad marriage. It was amicable. We mutually agreed to part ways. Meanwhile, like what it really
up, be like, hey, can you say that we both agreed on this? Like, I know you're breaking up with me. You're kicking me the curb. Can we just say that it was a mutual decision?
Or you could look at it like that for sure. And then you could look at it like this, is that I hate you and always have. I hate you and I can't stand you and I hope you rot in hell and I don't want to ever see you or hear from you or talk to you again as long as I live. Nice knowing you. Now kiss off. That's what that means. But that's the end of that road. What a story. Now, what do you think of Dak Prescott? What's interesting, he got a new deal and it's a ton of money. $66 million guaranteed signing bonus, $66 million signing bonus, and $126 million of it guaranteed. But just a gigantic deal. I mean, honestly, like the only person
more money
that is making the money that he's making is Mahomes. That's it. And then his signing bonus, I believe, is the biggest ever. This is the biggest ever. So that's how you get your deal is the biggest ever, is that when you're next, you know what I mean? When you're next, and when it's your turn, you get your money and your agent knows it's just literally 1 million more than the guy right before you, who's better than you, but you still got more money because you were next, right? Bottom line, it's crazy to say, but I mean, look at even Machado, right? And the deal he got, and then the deal that Tatis got. Look, and go look at the numbers. Go look at the numbers. I actually saw tonight the exact, you know, whatever, numbers on the whole thing in terms of, you know, what he got and everything else. $66 million. 4 years, 160. But I mean, boom. And it's almost, it says record bonus contract will nearly match Mahomes after taxes, right? So the reality is that Mahomes, and I don't know how Mahomes has his financial setup in terms of exactly how he's getting paid in terms of the deal and taxes. And like, I don't know if he's set up in Missouri. I don't know how much of that he's clearing, but our boy, the sports tax man, he was texting me tonight that, you know, the bottom line is Dak Prescott doesn't have those problems in Texas. You know what I mean? With the taxes there, it's like completely a joke in terms of he's not going to have to pay anything. And it's going to pay him on average $42 million a year. He's set to become the NFL's second highest paid quarterback after Mahomes, who earns $45 million a year. By playing in Texas, one of nine states without an income tax on wages, assuming that he resides in Texas, he projects to keep $75.5 million, according to the sports tax man. He's going to keep $75.5 million of the $126. That's insanity. It reflects Prescott paying the highest federal income tax rate on the portion of his income that exceeds $518,000 plus, or if married, filing jointly income that exceeds $622,000 plus change. Then there's payroll taxes, projected athlete targeted taxes, aka jock taxes. While Mahomes will gross $15.4 million more in guaranteed wages, $141 million, 428 to $126 mil across the board, he's only best Prescott by approximately $243,000 after taxes. Assuming Mahomes resides in Missouri, state income tax is 5.4%, and Kansas City's local income tax is 1%. Wow, that's crazy. Basically, he wrote here, Prescott stands to make a fortune, and it pays to play in Texas. How about them Cowboys in that Lone Star State? Check out. Ooh. For all on the bench. So I'm watching the end, or basically I think I'm watching highlights now of these games that happened tonight that I'm not too excited about. I got to be honest with you. Mafia, did you watch any of those games, like, you know, intently, like you were really into it? You know what I mean? Like, I had them on, and I got to tell you, I was way more into the Wild and Vegas Golden Knights game. And really, I couldn't get into even one of those college basketball games. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's the weather. You know, maybe it's the day of the week. I don't even know. But, like, I just couldn't get into it.
No, I couldn't either. I mean, I know I probably should check some of those teams out so I know, you know, what they actually look like when you fill out the bracket. You know, try to find those, you know, the team or two that could pull some upsets, like you were talking about Loyola Chicago today, how great their defense is. And you know, like, I should know more about these teams, but I just can't get into some of those. It's almost like watching high school ball at times, you know, watching these guys. They're playing on these tiny, tiny conferences. Even the beginning of these, you know, big tournaments. I mean, like the ACC is starting tomorrow, but having like three rounds before it gets to the teams that really matter. Yeah, I'll, you know, peruse it, but I'm not going to be locked in on those games either.
So the only game going on right now, Drexel's up 66-59 on Northeastern with a minute left. And South Dakota leads North Dakota State by three. With under five to go. And by the way, that Gonzaga game, 78-55, they wrecked St. Mary's and covered the 18. Boom. There you go. That's the only one. Like all the rest of them, I mean, I suppose at least I gave you the scores. Elon beat Hofstra, blew him out. Cleveland State by 6 over Milwaukee. Oral Roberts by 2 over South Dakota State. Ryder beat Canisius by a bucket. Appalachian State is in the tournament. They beat Georgia State by 7. Greensboro's in the tournament. They won by 8 over Mercer. Gonzaga will play tomorrow night in the final. The winner of Pepperdine BYU will play and lose to Gonzaga tomorrow night. And that'll be that. They're on a 29-game winning streak, and it's the longest active streak in D1. So far, nobody's been able to beat Gonzaga. Do you think they're going to be able to run the tables, Mafia? Run the tables and just go belly-to-belly, undefeated, like the 76 Indiana Hoosiers of Bob Knight. Are they Scotty May?
Nope.
Are they going to be able to go undefeated?
No. And I know that it's, you know, ridiculous to say that because they have had success at times, but
obviously,
I just feel like that's always the team.
Not there.
They're not going to do that. There's the team that always, you know, does this. They always rip through their conference and then they go to the big dance and they look good for a weekend and maybe weekend and a half. And then all of a sudden they play with the big boys and the chickens come to roost. I know they did have the, you know, that one great run a couple of years ago, but I just still can't buy this team, you know, with the candy cane, cupcake, whatever description you want to give it, schedule that they have. Just running through everybody. That's the reason they're always undefeated at this point.
So do you think that, so it sounds to me like you just do not believe in them and that they're going to lose.
I think they're a good team. I think they're going to go deep, but do I think they're going to be in the Final Four? No.
You don't even think they're going to make the Final Four?
Nope.
As the top seed in the whole thing?
We've seen it before.
We've seen it before. A failure. Are you rooting for their failure?
I'm not rooting for it, but I'm not, you know, if I've seen something happen more than, you know, more often than not, then I'm going to, you know, play those odds. I mean, the same thing is I've stopped, you know, obviously not this year because they're terrible, but teams like, you know, Notre Dame or Wisconsin, you know, I'm going to play the odds that they always choke in games in the tournament, you know, by the time the second week rolls around, as opposed to saying, okay, this is the one year they're going to make the run that I didn't expect.
So who do you think is going to make it? If you don't, like, is there one team that you really like to get there? Is it Baylor? Is it Illinois, Michigan, Iowa? There's all these Big Ten teams. Oklahoma State? Is it, you know, some other crazy pick from the Pac-12 or the Big East or the ACC or the SEC? Who do you like?
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing this year. I think it's going to be finding that one team that's not Big 10, Big 12, they could say, okay, this is going to be someone that makes it through, that gets, you know, all the way down there, because, you know, the way the bracket is going to work out, they're going to not going to have it so that you just have, you know, four teams from those two conferences. They're going to have, you know, I don't want to say an easier path, but, you know, a path where one of those teams from, you know, especially the ACC, they always love. The Big East, I don't believe in this year, even though I'm a Big East guy. You know, Villanova without Gillespie now, the other kid that got hurt Saturday, I just don't believe them. That conference was kind of, it just wasn't up to snuff this year to what it usually is. The Pac-12 always chokes at some point. I don't trust that conference either. It's got to be someone from the ACC, I guess. You know, is it a, you know, Louisville maybe kicks in gear after their, you know, all the time they spent off? Is it?
They,
you know,
suck.
I don't think Virginia is going to be doing it. I don't think they score enough this year. You know, it's, I think that it was a fluke, the one that they won, because every other year it's the same thing with them where they're awesome defensively and then all of a sudden they just sputter out on offense in the tournament. And they can't, you know, stick with the other teams that are putting up 50, 60, 70
points. They're not going to win anything. Neither one of them, Louisville or Virginia, neither one of them are winning jack. And I mean,
Florida State even is, you know, over the last couple of weeks made me a non-believer in them too with what they did against Notre Dame last weekend. I don't know. It's going to be hard to find another team outside those two conferences, but you got to find one somewhere.
Maybe it's, absolutely – it's been such a crazy year with COVID and with all the games canceled and everything that, and, you know, a lot of these guys are like, we played more games, you know, like Underwood at Illinois. We played more games. We're the Big Ten champs. He really looked silly with his assessment of Michigan not winning the Big Ten title, that Illinois beat him. And They did beat them, and they beat their ass at Chrysler, but they did not win the conference. They didn't, and that's that. So, but they could very well go on a run. I mean, they're very, you know, you see them win these big games. You see them in a hostile environment, even without fans. It's still tough to play there type scene. That's what they've done. They've mowed through everybody. They're tough. They're really tough. And then we've talked about Iowa. Is Iowa legit, or are they just Big Ten legit? Are they going to be able to go outside the Big Ten? And will all that experience of playing in those, you know, Big Ten games where they either won or struggled, whatever, because they did lose some games they should have never lost. Do you think that that prepared them more for what lies ahead outside of the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament? So I think there's a lot of people that would say, we're going to find out how good Iowa is based on that, like getting outside their skin and playing somebody else that isn't the same thing that they know they're facing. Conference opponents in that, it's a war zone. That's a war zone, the Big Ten. Those games are brutal. It's a difficult, you know, harrowing task to get it done, to win it. It's no joke, and this year was no joke. You know, you've heard nine teams for the tournament, and that's been said over and over. But the bottom line is you find out what they're made of. I think that proving ground, you know, and I'm not even, like, I have no clue because you know somebody's going to screw up. You know that someone's going to lose. Like, a conference is going to have a bad run in the tournament. There's always one. And automatic, and then they just pounce on them. The media, they pounce on if the, you know, Big Ten, let's say if nine get in and seven of them lose, I mean, they will have an absolute field day on them and abuse them like no other, because the media, the sports media, the NCAA tournament media, I mean, they're out for blood. That's all there is to it. And whoever loses that shouldn't gets it. And right. And they get it. They get slapped right in the face. That's what happens there. And they wait for good teams to lose, and they all end up, you know, losing. It's very difficult to actually pull it off, get it done, win it all. Only one team's left standing. All others fail. And the reality is, but along the way, they love just chopping people down. They love to just get, you know, I'm telling you, even more so, like with coaches that the media doesn't like. If they don't like you, if like the national media, local media, whatever, if they don't like you, the coach, because the coach is a D and the coach is difficult to deal with and is not cooperative and does it out of spite or haste, doesn't like contributing to the media and their job and giving them anything, or talking to them and dealing with them and the press conference after the game, they don't want to deal with it. They don't like it. I mean, I'll go right back to the well, Jim Boeheim. I always go to the well. Like, that guy, they got to stop him from doing these press conferences. They really do. He's gotten so embarrassing. He really has. He's such a grumpy old man. He's so miserable. And all he does is he hates the media like nothing else. And on the face of the earth, does he despise more than the media? I mean, there's some things that, you know, there's a lot of things that you should probably, you know, in my view, dislike in life, in front of the, you know, in front of decisions like that. You know, blame the media for all your problems. I mean, it's pathetic. I don't care who you are. It's pathetic. And they do it all the time. Your boy, Kyrie Irving, does it all the time. He'll just blame everything on the media. It's the media's fault. The world, blame the media. When the election happened, blame the media. You got to blame somebody. Blame the media. It's so easy.
How would you rather feel? Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
Just breathe, dude.
Or swimming in the warm waters of confidence that comes from having the winning edge?
Yay! We thought so.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Evander Kane in overtime for the Sharks as they beat the Blues 3-2 at the Tank in San Jose. Logan Couture's power play goal 8 minutes into the third tied it up at twos, and then Kane wins it in the extra session from Eric overpaid Carlson, and they win it 3-2. That was a great bet, Mafia. I hit the Sharks tonight. Nobody thought that they'd win. And the Coyotes beat the Avalanche 3-2. Wild. I hit them over the Vegas Knights 2-0. And that was a good game. Fleury kept him in it. He gave up a pair. He gave up one late that didn't matter. I think that might even have been, I don't even know if it was an empty netter right there at the end because they were up one zip. I could be wrong. But I guess they scored with 5 seconds left or 6 seconds left, something like that. And Broden from Foligno and Erickson. There you go. They scored real late, but it was Fiala's goal that really stood the test of time. He scored at 10:51 of the first, and that thing held up until 6 seconds left in the game. It was a really good game. Ducks lead the Kings 5-3 after two periods at the Pond in Anaheim. Canadians one zip on the Canucks in Vancouver after two. And the Oilers just beat the Senators 3-2. So there you go. Edmonton gets it done. 3-2 over Ottawa. And then in terms of the basketball, right now North Dakota State's up two, up a deuce, with 15 seconds left on South Dakota in the Summit League semis. Going on right now. 77-75, 15 seconds left. Everything else is in the books. The game to follow coming up here any minute in 10 minutes. Pepperdine and BYU late night on the Deuce. You can get that rolling in bed. I'll be rolling on that one like a doobie. Your boy, BYU and Pepperdine late night, Dr. Zhivago. I love it. Give me some of that late night juice. Start that midnight like Hawaiian style. Give me that mahalo tip off. Now North Dakota State by three, by four now, hitting free throws by the dozens. Anyway, there you go. They're up four. And I think North Dakota State, let me just look. I've been under a tremendous strain. They were laying three and they're up four. All I know is I thought that went down to 2.5 or something on Coast to Coast today, or even two. I think it did, actually, the more I think about it. The one thing I do remember for the most part on a daily basis in life, I forget everything else, but I remember spreads. And Mafia knows it's true. I'll like rattle off games because I'll do so many games, and I'll just remember what the lines are in the games. It's kind of creepy when you think about it. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember the spread of some game that doesn't matter. That's when you know you're demented. When you remember that stuff.
Cares about anniversaries, birthdays, just spreads.
Right. I'm watching highlights of your girl, Doug Rouse. Doug Rouse. Do you think she'll lose to that Zhang, huh?
Yeah, probably. I just don't think I don't feel like her head's in it anymore. You know, you always hear her talk about different things she wants to do. She just doesn't seem, I mean, obviously she's motivated. She's still in there, but I don't think she has that same killer instinct that she had before, you know, the kind of bus attack and everything else that's gone in her life since. I mean, she's lost a bunch of people to COVID as well. I think that
Doug Rouse,
Zhang Weili, is just crazy and ready to throw down. We saw what she did to JJ.
So, I mean, you know, what's funny to me is that like she'll win a title and then lose it or whatever. When they win it, to me, it seems like winning it isn't enough because, you know, they lose it just as easily. Winning it is hard. You lose it, it's hard, but it happens quickly. A lot of these people, they don't last that long in the sport. So anyone's that do, that stand above the others and stand out because they've lasted and they've done exceedingly well at, you know what I mean? Like at the sport, even though they've lost a belt or something, yet they've kept fighting. There's guys and chicks that have been able to do that where they've just stood the test of time. You can rattle them off better than me. The ones that last in the sport that are, you know, just not fighting to hang on, but actually fighting. And like even Dustin Poirier got way better. He got way better. You know what I mean? He was like good, but he was never great. And then he's gotten great. And he's just improved and kept working and getting better. And I think there's, you know, more than me, Mafia, like that chick, you know, she was so dangerous and then she wasn't. And I think that's the way it goes for most of them, right? There's very few that stand out above the others, like completely and keep belts for a long time.
Yeah. Especially in that sport, it's a lot harder to, you know, not unless that's time because of some of the injuries you take, the brutal hits that you know, pile up. But I mean, just taking that beating every day gets to be too much for people. They're just like, why do I want to do this to myself? And especially the ones that have like surgery after surgery and, you know, injury after injury, it just eventually some of them is just not worth it, or, you know, you're just not safe to do it. You think there's better ways to make money, but it is amazing how some of them can last. And, you know, you got to adapt. It's just like, you know, a pitcher in baseball, you know, guy like, you know, Pedro or Maddox were like, you can throw gas and then all of a sudden you don't have that gas and you got to figure out a different way to do it. Or these, you know, these players in the NBA like LeBron can still go through everybody for the most part. But when he was a kid, a lot different from where he was then to now, like, you know, with the game and how he's adapted and how he plays it. So the same thing in that sport. Like, you know, sometimes when you're young, you can take a punch all day and not go down and you got pop in your fist and you're just going to come in there and just bull those people. And eventually the chin doesn't, you know, hold up as much. And you got to figure out different ways to win.
Who do you think's badder? Like, that's, you know, nastier, that Shevchenko, or like, basically you, who would you say the, what was the crazy one's name? The redhead that ended up Cyborg, the one that went to Bellator. What do you think of, like, who's badder? Like that's Shevchenko chick. She kicks people in the head.
Yeah, Bulla Shevchenko is crazy. I mean, she's awesome. That's why they're talking about her and the Linus again, because those are the only two right now that are, you know, on that upper echelon compared to all the other women in the sport. It's just, there is nobody on their level at this moment, so why not throw them against each other again, even though Nunes has won both of them? She's awesome. I mean, the whole thing with Cyborg. Cyborg, it was a great fighter, but it's the same with the women as it was with the guys, that you could just be crazy SOB and come in swinging hard, and you had power in your fist, and you were winning early on. That's how the same thing for the women. If you come in and just, you know, pummel people, you're going to win. That's what Cyborg was doing. And now other women have caught up to her. And, you know, other women have power and other women have found different ways. You know, they have the different aspects of the game, the takedowns, the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling that they didn't have when all these divisions were starting. So, you know, you got to figure out, you got to change your game. And she just really hasn't. She just can same come forward, throw you down bully style. And it's caught up to her. These other women have caught up in skill and have, you know, surpassed her.
Thugros, do you, can you explain again to people what happened to this, this Jan guy? Yeah, to explain it, because on TV today, you went through it about, I don't understand the rule of the guy's down on a knee or whatever you're telling me. And like, because right. I would think as a fan, I'm just being honest, this is what I would think. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I've been to years of these events. I've been to, with you, to tons of them. I've seen everything, have I not? And then you're telling me that when a guy's down, you can't knee him in the head or something, or you can't, I don't understand, because like in everything, you can smash a guy's face in with your elbow and literally have his entire brain spewing out onto the canvas in the octagon. You could gouge, literally, a guy will have his eye gouged out and they keep fighting. It's amazing to me that you're telling me some guy got kneed in the head because he was down, that they disqualified him. I like, are you kidding? When don't they throw knees in this sport?
You can't do it when they're down. If they're touching the mat, you can punch him. You could hit him in the body. He could knee kick him in the body all he wanted. You can't hit him in the head because they're trying to protect them, you know, from doing things like, and Pride, it used to be legal. Pride, they used to soccer kick guys' faces when they're on the mat. But, you know, that's how people really get messed up. Right, that's some Green Street hooligan type stuff, you know, some soccer hooligan.
I
want to
see that.
There isn't a lot that's illegal in MMA, and that's one of the things that is, that if they're touching the mat, you know, whether it's a knee.
What do you prefer?
I think it's smart to do it that way. I'm okay with that. You know, you can still punch the guy. It's not like you can't do anything to him. It's not like you have to let him back up and then get back into it. There's a million things you could do to him. You just can't kick or knee him in the head.
What about if you were in, like, can we at least leave? Say, does one still let people soccer kick someone in the head?
No, none of them do anymore.
None of them allow it? So I have no one. I need to start.
It's like your human cockfighting days.
Well, I need to start a league where people still get blasted in the head with kicks because I think it's just awesome. I want to have more of that. I don't know what you're talking about, all these rules. Same thing in hockey. Did I not go on record today saying, and no one wants to hear it, but I said that I miss heavy hits and fights, and I need more of them. I don't care who gets suspended because Wilson's 7-gamer will turn into 4, right? You know, once they appeal and everything else, they'll drop it. Well, I'll be surprised anyway. I'll be surprised if he sits for 7, but I have no problem.
Just have the rest of the season.
But good luck with that. I mean, this is the National Hokum League. You think they're going to suspend him for the rest of the season because he lit somebody up? Good luck. He's done it 20 times. So, but going back to what you're saying about fighting. So when did they change the rule to say you couldn't blast someone in the head with a kick? Because I actually don't remember, to be honest with you, where they ever, frankly, stopped them from doing anything. Like they just, like when I watch these fights, all I see is people trying to kill each other. I don't know anything about all these nice rules and being respectful of one's brain or anything else. Like, are you kidding me? I've seen people pile driven. They'll decapitate you in the UFC. Now all of a sudden they care about their heads.
Listen, like I said, there's very few things you can't do. Basically, you can't hit in the back of the head, in the crotch, you know, poke in the eyes or kick them when they're down. Other than that, you know, it's fair game, man.
Kick him in the head, kick him in the ribs. I'll be your friend. Drink beer, my friend, drink man. Hell, I can drink like Pharrell can. What you got, a beer in your hand? Mafia's cashing my buzz tonight. No kicking in the head. Last time I went to the gym with Mafia, he kicked me in the head.
But you were standing right on the ground.
He kicked me in the head and then literally and then stole my last 3 Guinness beers. So they got JJ, 6-5 Thug Rose. Shevchenko 4, Cyborg 3, and then Rousey 2, and then it's got to be the Lioness, right? There she absolutely is, the Lioness. Absolutely. So
no
one
compares.
So you think she's better even than Rousey?
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, Rousey was great, you know, pretty much getting it going. The Lioness would put her to shame.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, look at the girl. She Holly Holm and something, you know, the loss she had at the end, like, she, another one you talk about, like, you know, people just don't, she didn't have the desire anymore. Lioness has, like, she's ruling 2 divisions. There's no even rankings in the 1 division. She's cleaned it out so bad. She's got a new kid and still she's like, I'm still going to come there and destroy you and make, you know, quick work of Megan Anderson.
Oh my God. She just, it was over. And like, before you even got the popcorn out of the microwave oven, it was over. It's unbelievable. I like watching this stuff. You know, the best of the best of the highlights of the greatest fights and everything. They even showed your boy Chuck on there, Chuck Liddell. We love Chuck. Chuck's been on the show a million times over the years. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool seeing all those chick fights just now for the last half hour. I've been talking with your boy Compton. That's our boy. Remember him from Howard TV? and from the show. He used to do all kinds of stuff. His brother works, I think, or whose brother? Somebody, I know one of them works there. I forget who it is. I have somebody's brother works for Howard. Who is it, Mavi? Do you know who I'm thinking of? Yeah, it's Shep's brother. How about that? His brother works for Howard now doing that stuff. All right, I'll see you tomorrow, 4 on Coast to Coast. There'll be a bunch of other bad college basketball games tomorrow and a bunch of great hockey games. Good job, Moff. I'll see you on Coast to Coast 4 East. Sports Rage next.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.